We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. We're going to be talking about the subject of sin. We're going to talk specifically about two categories of sin that are mentioned in Psalm chapter 19. In Psalm 19, David first talks about the law of God, and then he talks about violating that law. And after all, that's what sin is, violating God's law. 1 John 3 and 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." You know, sometimes today I run across people who will say, "We don't live under law today, we live under grace," as if somehow the two are mutually exclusive. But would you appreciate with me that if we don't live under a law today, then we can't commit sin today? Because sin is a transgression of the law. And so we do live under a law today. We don't live under the Old Testament law. We don't live under the law of Moses, but we do live under a law. It's the law of Christ. And when you meet someone who says, "We don't live under a law today," take them to look at James chapter 1 and verse 25, where the Bible refers to the law we live under and calls it the perfect law of liberty. We do live under a law in the New Testament age. All right, Psalm 19, let's begin reading here in verse number 7. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Now, up to this point, he is describing God's law in some very beautiful terms, very, very pretty language here. But then he starts discussing the violation of God's law. Now look at verse 12. This is where we're really going to focus tonight. He says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now I want you to notice with me that David talks about two different types of sin in these verses. Now you know, sometimes when I talk about different sins or one sin being a very serious sin, someone is very quick to speak up and say, "Brother, all sins are the same. A sin is a sin, and sin, they're all the same in the eyes of the Lord." Well, there's a sense in which that's true. All sin is a transgression of God's law, 1 John 3, 4. And all sins are the same in that way. All sin can cause a man to lose his soul eternally, Romans 3, 23. All sins are the same that way. James 2 and verse 10 says, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." In other words, the Bible says, if you break one commandment, you commit one sin, you make yourself a transgressor of the law. And so you're a lost person. And so in that sense, all sins are the same. But there is another sense. Listen to this. There's another sense in which sins are different. And the Bible talks about some sins being greater than others. In Exodus, for example, Exodus 32 and 21, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people do unto you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" He said, "What you have done here," in reference to the golden calf, "this is serious, Aaron. So great a sin." 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 8, David said unto God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing." 2 Kings 17, 21 says that Jeroboam made Israel to sin a great sin against the Lord, a very serious sin. And so there are some sins, there's a sense in which some sins are greater than other sins. And you may remember Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him." That is, there are some things that are particularly offensive, that are particularly repulsive in the eyes of God. Now, we are not to understand from this that some sins are consequential and others are not. We're not saying that. We're not to think that some sins are black and some are white. That's not what we're saying. We're not to say some sins will cause you to be damned and others will not. We're not saying that at all. Because any sin unrepented of is enough to keep a man out of heaven. So in that sense, there are no small sins. We're not saying such a thing as that. Because you know, a small grain of sand in a mechanism of a watch is not a small thing. And a tiny spark can cause a great forest fire. A microscopic bacteria can kill the whole body. And a little hole in a boat can sink the whole vessel. And so, in that sense, no sin is greater than another. But in the eyes of God, some sins are viewed differently. And that's what we're going to talk about here in Psalm chapter 19. There are two different categories of sins that are discussed. The first one is listed as secret sins, and the second is listed in the King James as presumptuous sins. First, let's talk about the secret sins. Look at verse number 12, Psalm 19. David asked the question, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret sins." Now, sometimes when you hear the term secret sins, you start thinking, well, he's talking about sins nobody else knows about. They're secret. That's not what he's talking about here. Now, you know, there are sins like that that only I know. They're secret. Maybe they're in my mind. Maybe I do it in the privacy of my home. No one else is aware of that. And the Bible talks about sins like that. You know, sins that I sneak around to engage in. Sins that are known by nobody else in the whole world except me. Sins maybe that are committed in my mind. Maybe they're evil thoughts. Maybe they're evil desires. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "It is a shame even to speak of those things that are done in secret." He says there are some sins that are done secretly and they're so evil. It's not even good to talk about them. It's a shame to even speak about some of the things that people do in secret. You remember David's sin with Bathsheba. He worked very hard to keep it a secret sin. But that's not what we're talking about here. The word secret here means hidden. And in this text, the idea is that there are sins that are hidden from the individual. That is, sins of ignorance, in other words. In fact, another version says it this way, "Cleanse thou me from hidden faults." Another modern translation put it this way, "Forgive me when I sin without knowing it." I don't really care for this translation, but I like the way they translated this verse because that's the idea. Forgive me when I sin without knowing it. And if you look at the verse here, it's clear that's what David's talking about, because in verse 12 he says, "Who can understand his errors?" In other words, sometimes I sin without even having an understanding of what I have done. And there are examples of that in the Bible. Think about the Apostle Paul. Before Paul became a Christian, he was persecuting Christianity. And he sinned a grievous sin by doing that. But in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, he tells us he did it in good conscience. Now, how can that be? How could he be sinning a grievous sin and having done it in good conscience? The answer is he did it ignorantly. He wasn't aware of the fact that he was sinning this sin. Well, sometimes today I will hear people say, but let me make this point, he was still sinning. Even though he did it through ignorance, he was still sinning. Now, sometimes today people will think, well, as long as I do what I think is right, as long as I believe I'm right, then I'll be pleasing to God. As long as I'm sincere and I sincerely believe what I'm doing, then I'll be accepted of God and saved by God. But folks, the Bible doesn't bear that out. We need to understand that sins of ignorance are still sins, and we will be punished for them. Listen to this passage from the Old Testament, just to see this principle. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 2, this is from the law of Moses. "If a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of an unclean cattle or carcass of unclean creeping things, and it be hidden from him," that is, he doesn't even know he's done it, "he shall be unclean and is guilty." He says even though he did this, he didn't even know he did it. He's still guilty because he did it. Listen to this from the New Testament, Luke chapter 12. It's a parable about some servants who knew their master's will and then some servants who did not know their master's will. But some knew it, some didn't, but none of them obeyed it. Listen to what verse 48 says about those who did not know the master's will. He says, "He that knew not his master's will and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." Now what's the point? Though they were ignorant, though they knew not, they were still accountable and they were still punished. Now, the point of the few stripes has to do, I think, with the degree of punishment, because they did not know, they weren't as accountable. In their ignorance, their punishment wasn't as severe as those who knew it, but they were still accountable, and they were still punished. Listen to this. You know, sometimes I have met people who have the idea that they want to limit their knowledge with respect to what God wants them to know, because they think, if I don't know it all, then I'm not going to be accountable. And the Bible does teach that with opportunity comes responsibility and accountability. And some folks have thought this way: well, if I remain ignorant, I will therefore limit my accountability. Folks, that's not right. Because though I may be ignorant, I am still accountable in the eyes of God for my sins. And that's why I want to grow. That's why I want to learn, so I'm not going to be committing sins of ignorance for which I'm accountable. Because ignorance is not going to be an excuse in the eyes of God. Have you ever heard the old saying? I know you have the old saying that says ignorance is bliss. Well, maybe in some realms that's true, but it's not true with respect to the Word of God. In fact, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the Word of God. In fact, Acts 17:30 says, "In the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day when He will judge the world." Now, what's the point? Ignorance is not going to be an excuse with God. Sometimes people say, well, what about a person out in the jungle of South America somewhere? They've never even heard the Word of God. Surely they're not going to be sent to hell because they were ignorant. Friends, the Bible says ignorance is not going to be an excuse with the Lord. And David recognizes something in this passage that we all need to recognize. And that is that though his sins may be secret, that is, though they may be sins of ignorance, he still needs cleansing of them. He prayed, "Lord, cleanse thou me from my secret faults." Now, in just a minute, I want to talk about the second category, the presumptuous sins. But first, I need to ask this question. If I have secret sins, and no doubt we all do, what do I do about it? How do I deal with secret sins? If I don't know that I've committed them, how do I deal with this? The first thing that I need to do is I need to recognize the fact that I am accountable for sins of ignorance. Because until I recognize that fact, I'm not going to be ready to do anything about it. Secondly, I need to study. I need to seek to grow and make myself aware of the law of God so that I can guard myself against these sins of ignorance. And thirdly, as a child of God, I need to do the same thing that David did, and that is pray for forgiveness. All of us are going to commit sins of ignorance sometimes. You know, when a man becomes a child of God, he doesn't just automatically know everything he needs to know. When he comes out of that baptistry, it's not as if some miraculous knowledge comes upon him and he knows everything. He's growing and he's learning, but he's going to be committing some sins that he doesn't even know that he's committing. So what's he do about that? I need to pray for the Lord's forgiveness. And as 1 John 1 and 7 says, as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, as He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what do I do about secret sins? First, I need to understand that I have them. Secondly, I need to be studying so that I won't have so many of them. Thirdly, sometimes I need to, as a child of God, as a Christian, I need to bow my head and say, Lord, please forgive me when I sin and I don't know it. Cleanse thou me from my secret sins, is what David said. Okay, here's the second category of sins I want us to notice from Psalm 19 and verse 13. David says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. First, he talks about sins of ignorance. Then he talks about presumptuous sins. The word presumptuous, by definition, means this: overstepping due bounds or taking liberties. The word presumptuous occurs once in the New Testament, in 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. And in that particular passage, the word means bold. It means daring. And so a presumptuous sin is when I take matters into my own hands and I daringly do what I know the Lord does not want me to do. I ignore the precepts of God. In fact, another version says it this way. Psalm 19:13 says, keep me from deliberate wrong. And that's exactly what it is. Presumptuous sin is high-handed sin. It is a sin that you commit when you know better. You know what God's Word has to say about this matter, but essentially, you shake your fist in the face of God and say, I know what your Word says, but I'm going to do it anyway. Now, this is a very serious thing, and it's treated differently from a sin of ignorance. In fact, in this text, it is referred to as the great transgression. David said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Now, look at the end of the verse. He says, and I also shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression. What's he mean? He means this is more serious. When you say, Lord, I know what your will says, but I'm going to do what I want to because that's what I want to do. The Lord views that differently from when you commit a sin of ignorance. And there are some good examples of presumptuous sin in the Bible. Let me give you one. King Solomon is an excellent example of presumptuous sin. In 1 Kings chapter 11, listen to what the Bible says about him. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel. Listen to this. Which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded him. The text says, the Lord appeared unto him two times and told him, do not do this, Solomon, and he did it anyway. Brethren, that is presumptuous sin. Two times God appeared to Solomon, commanded him not to do it, and he did it anyway. That is high-handed sin. And the Scriptures tell us that God will deal more harshly with presumptuous sins. Remember again Luke chapter 12, I mentioned a few minutes ago, the servant who knew not the Lord's will, it says, was beaten with few stripes. But listen to verse 47. Listen to the description of the man who did know the Lord's will. The text says, and that servant who knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself and did not according to his master's will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now what's the idea? The idea is that God is going to deal more severely with a person who knew better and did it anyway. Now here's Numbers chapter 15. Listen to this from the Old Testament law. Verses 27 through 31. Numbers 15, 27 through 31. If any soul sin through ignorance, then shall he bring a she-goat of the first year for sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born of the children of Israel and the stranger that sojourneth among them. Now listen, he said there's one law for people who sin through ignorance. But, verse 30, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born of the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people. Why? He said, if a person does it ignorantly, there's a way to deal with that. Here's the offering. If a person does it intentionally, that person, that soul, shall be cut off from among the people. Now why? Verse 31, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. This is serious. The Lord views this differently. He said, because when you know what I said, and you're going to shake your fist and do it anyway, you have despised the word of the Lord. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Let's say that you own some land, and it's largely made up of woods, and you don't want anyone hunting on your land. And your land runs right up to somebody else's land, and there's not really any divider where it stops. And let's say that there's a man hunting on this other person's land, and he wanders up to your land, and he doesn't know the divider, so he comes across onto your land, and he wanders onto your land, and he's hunting. And you see this man, and you tell him, this is my land. I don't allow hunting on the land. And the man apologizes, and he says, I'm sorry. I was ignorant of the fact, and he leaves and goes about his way. How do you feel about that? Now, let's say later, another man comes to your property, and at this point, you have put up a fence. And you have a sign that says no hunting, no trespassing, and it is very clear, it's very well stated, this is your property and you don't want anyone hunting. Well, let's say that man comes to your property and he tears down your sign and he climbs over your fence and he does it anyway. How do you feel about that man? Can you see the difference with the Lord when it comes to a sin of ignorance and a sin that is a presumptuous sin? The Bible teaches from the law of Moses that to engage in presumptuous sin is to despise the law of the Lord. And brethren, that's a very serious accusation. Now, here's one more thing I want to notice from the text, and the lesson's going to be yours. It's a short lesson tonight. One more lesson from Psalm 19. And this is this. The fact is, God can tell the difference in these two types of sin because He knows my heart. Now, you know, another man might not know the difference. Another human being may not know when I'm committing a sin of ignorance or when I'm doing it intentionally, but God does because He knows my heart. Psalm 90 and verse 8 tells us that all of our iniquities are set before Him and our secret sins are exposed in the light of His countenance. Two different types of sin described in the Bible. One is a secret sin. It's hidden. I'm not even aware that I've done it. It's a sin of ignorance. It's still a sin. I can still lose my soul for it, but the Bible has a remedy for how I'm to deal with that. The other is a sin where I have full knowledge. I know what God said to do, but I decide I'm not going to do it because I want to do it my way. The Lord looks at those two things in different ways. But you know, the fact is, whether I've committed secret sins or whether I've committed sins, high-handed sins, presumptuous sins, there is a remedy for both. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ, because we can be cleansed of any sin for which we will repent. Friend, maybe you are here this evening and you've been living in sin. You need to know that the Bible says there is a day of reckoning coming. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, on that day God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But listen, God shall bring every work into judgment, and it says with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.